This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la vacuna que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan.
What it do?
We got one of my favorite sponsors of all time.
All right.
Okay. Have you heard of Athletic Greens?
No, but you and Joe have been telling me about it because you both use it. I'm still waiting to get mine.
Yeah, it's got less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs. It supports better sleep quality and recovery, and it supports mental clarity and alertness. Basically, I take a lot of vitamins. I've got like six, seven, you know, things of vitamins, everything I had to, take the cap off, to take them all. I take six or seven at a time, but not anymore. With Athletic Greens, you just take a packet or a scoop. It comes in packets or scoops. Put a scoop in the water, about 8 to 12 ounces of water, and you take it down. It tastes delicious. It costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. It's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself, and you're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. It's recommended by athletes. So basically, with one scoop of this, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source ingredients, probiotics, and adaptogens to help start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. All the things. So right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Conan. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Conan, athleticgreens.com/KONAN, to take advantage and ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Okay, what do you take it for exactly, Joe? Because I know you like it.
It's vitamins.
Yeah, it's vitamins. I like it a lot because of the taste. I take mine in the morning, and actually what it did was, you know, I was taking a multivitamin, I was taking a probiotic for my gut, I was taking something for energy, something for sleep, whatever. that can cost you hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month to keep taking all these things. Like Disco said, he takes six different things, right? With Athletic Greens, you use your one scoop in the morning, and you're good. You can cancel out all these millions of vitamins and spending hundreds and all that. You know, some people don't like to take big, thick vitamins and pills and all that. This is a drink. It's delicious, and it takes care of everything.
Yeah, basically, Conan, it's just the simplicity of taking a multivitamin and a probiotic. Just put anything that tastes good, just drink it down right before you. I do it right before my first meal of the day, and it's great. It's perfect. It's so much more convenient.
So you just take it once a day?
Just once a day. It's all you need right before your first meal.
Yep, one scoop in water. Boom.
Yeah, and I was reading right here. It says that you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins.
And also, you know, our viewers, like we promote a lot of products on the show, and our listeners probably have different types of diets. And it's whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free. It works for everything.
So take care of your digestive system, your immune system, your vitamins, your minerals, all in one powder, good-tasting form. Joe and Disco have been using it. I will be using it soon and giving you my reaction on it. But if they're putting it over, obviously it's good. Check it out.
It's athleticgreens.com/KONAN.
All right, as usual, we always looking out for your wellness and your lifestyle and how you can stay healthier. And here's another example, athleticgreens.com. Boom.
Subject is Twitter. Hi, K100 fan. Thanks for taking my question. I want to get your thoughts about Twitter. Do you think Twitter is used too much? A few examples. Disco joined Twitter July of 2011. But by the way, a little backstory on that. Do you know how I joined Twitter?
No, I don't care.
Okay, I joined Twitter and I wasn't tweeting. I was just I just used it for a news source because I was a lurker following fantasy football guys. This is way before politics blew up back in 2011, right? I was following a lot of fantasy football accounts because it was easy, you know, and stuff because they would tweet, you know, it was for like info. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Kidman tweeted that I was on Twitter and tweeted my thing out and stuff. And the next thing you know, everybody started. So now I had to engage on Twitter, right? It says Disco joined Twitter July of 2011, and since then he's tweeted, retweeted, and replied a total of 4,880 times. This is an average of about 10 tweets a day. Meltzer joined Twitter September 2012 and has tweeted a total of 108,600 times. That averages 30 tweets a day. Now, Bix and Span joined Twitter February 2009 and has tweeted a total of 265,200 times for an average of 54 tweets a day.
Holy shit. Would
it be safe to say that being on Twitter may ruin some people's lives and this is not healthy? Well, you can see some of the people that Twitter is just like the main thing is the Trump derangement syndrome people that are still on Twitter that are still tweet. They tweet about Trump all day long. And like, come on, guys, can we let him go? You know, so and like, yeah, the political tweeters and the people that follow into a tweet constantly tweet about politics. I don't think that's very healthy. I mean, that's just me. But if you're tweeting about sports and stuff and, you know, entertainment, like that's kind of different. But tweeting. You know, like I would say this, the people that tweet about the exact same subject matter constantly, like 30, 40 times a day, those are the ones that I think are kind of like, that's not healthy at all. But that's just me. Who knows? You know? What about you, Conan? What do you think?
What was the question?
Is Twitter unhealthy?
Obviously, like anything else, if you're on it too much, it can be. And if you let it affect you, it can be. But it's a good marketing tool, good fucking networking tool, you know, and to keep up with what your friends are doing and just news overall. Like, I might tweet twice a day.
Yeah, you know? And one of them's usually a burial of something I tweeted.
Right, because you bury stupid shit like the shit you just put right now about your wife and the cat.
Oh, Jesus. Next thing is from Ryan G. Subject is theory. I'm not sure why WWE is pushing theory. For me, his monotone, you can tell his lines are read word for word, like a BT movie from the 90s. He wears 5-inch soles on his boots to put him over 6 feet. To be fair, his wrestling is pretty good. What are your thoughts, Conan, Disco, and Joe? Ryan G, it's kind of like a little – I want to make a disclaimer here. If you kind of need to listen to our show if you're going to do mailbag contributions because we talk about theory every single week on the SmackDown and Raw reviews every single week.
And we put them over.
We put them over. I had a – you know, I was kind of not in them, kind of in on them. But all of our opinions on theory are in our mail – are on the show. Okay, so we're not going to – you're asking us a question – to ask us to repeat what we say in the podcast. I need to direct you to the podcast for the answer to that question. All right.
Go to any Raw review.
Or SmackDown, he's on too. So next is from Anthony Hunt. Subject is two booking questions. Dear K100, this guy puts this guy's been suspended for 1 week. He puts Dear K1100 crew. Greetings from Philly. Love how you guys rag on Joe. K-Dog, long live the Wolfpack. My two questions. Carmelo Hayes, could you see him challenging Reigns one day? Second question is, who is being booked better, Jade Cargill or Bianca Belair? Some Anthony Hunt from Philly.
No Philly loyalty there. I see in his picture he's got an Eagles jersey on. We support the same teams from the same area, and he's all in for my burials. That's you know, ridiculous.
Who's Carmelo Hayes? Is he an NXT guy?
Just because he likes Philadelphia doesn't mean he has to like you.
Who's Carmelo Hayes?
The face of Philadelphia.
Oh, that's the guy from Manette.
NXT?
Philadelphia's in trouble. Through the face, my brother.
Yeah.
Carmelo Hayes, where's he from?
Huh?
Where's
Carmelo Hayes?
He's the current NXT North American champion.
Hey, I don't know anything about him. I don't watch this show.
Yeah.
Who's being booked better, Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair? Bianca Belair, way better. Jade Cargill's stuck with the watch. She's watered down with
Stokely. Other girl, yeah.
I believe it was Sean Ross Sapp, who Disco's going back and forth with on Twitter right now, tweeted the other day that her undefeated streak is now longer than Goldberg's, Jade Cargill. Just in case you guys needed to know that.
How is that true?
Like, lengthwise, it's longer. Like, 16 months or something. I don't know.
Oh, okay. The length of the months.
That's a very nerdy info that you just threw. Yeah.
For sure.
Next is from David Miles, and the subject is Maximum Male Models. First thing, love the show, Disco and Conan. What is your opinion on Maximum Male Models? Have they already ruined the faction, or did they just bury them on purpose? Maximum Male Models reminds me of the Spirit Squad, and most importantly, did it titillate your juices? LOL. Keep up the awesome work, K100. I'd like to have a discussion. I'm going to ask you a question, David Miles, and I'll have you answer this question back. Have they been buried? That's my question. I don't even understand. Have they bury them? In your opinion, David Miles, how do you think they've been buried? I think what they're doing is great. They're doing character development with their performances so far. You know, that's kind of a dumb take. Would you agree with that?
Yep.
Yeah. David Miles, respond next week to our question, okay? How have they been buried? I don't, you know, they're on every, bro, they get like a 10-minute segment every week on the show. You know, they don't even have to wrestle. It gets good heat.
That might have been like clickbait solicitation to try to see if you guys would bury it or something like that.
Yeah. Next is from Mike Durbin.
Okay.
The subject is, here we go. Well, before I give the subject out, what's your relationship with Durbin like right now, Joe?
Fine. I was actually asking him if he would help me do a little bit better editing on some of our video clips and stuff, which he agreed, so we're good.
Hey, here's the subject. Feeny sabotaging the show again?
Oh, what a little ass-kisser.
Hello to my acquaintances, Conan and Disco. Remember when Joe was put on trial for allegedly sabotaging K100 by adding the fake applause and booing sound effects? I think Mr. Feeney III might be playing games with the audio again. I've been noticing more and more of this annoying bell sound effect sprinkled throughout the entire show. It's seriously dozens of times per episode. Also, there is a phone ringing that pops up occasionally, as well as a dog barking. And sometimes there's a sound effect of a man unwrapping food and chewing loudly right in the microphone. I am almost 100% sure this is Joe manipulating the audio, as there's no way a totally professional podcaster would have their phones making loud, distracting noises right next to the microphone, right? Please play the attached clip for an example. Joe, get your legal team prepared for another trial. Trial there, man. Uh-oh. There we go there, man. This is Mike Durbin, and K100's official NWA 74 front row correspondent.
I have the clip, but I think clearly he's poking fun at Conan for his phone going off last week.
Yeah, Conan, this is Durbin offhandedly taking a shot at you by trying to blame Joe. Do you want to suspend him from the mailbag for a week?
Yep.
Do you still want to hear this or no?
Well, I hear it every time. I tell Conan to go ahead and play it. Go ahead and play it real quick.
Yo, want to shout out Mac Daddy Milo for sending us this WCW Live archive, which I'm sure we'll be putting on Patreon very soon. Yep. If you find any gems in there, let me know, Joe, because I'd like to maybe play them in a cold open or something.
Yeah, I'm going to go through and maybe use some stuff included with
that. That's real. 20 years ago, me and Disco hooking up for the first time.
All right, that was definitely those Conan's.
Good. I'm glad that annoys him. I'm going to continue to do that.
That's great.
And he's suspended for a week, too, by the way, Joe.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
All right. Mark that down. Next is from James Armendariz. Subject is Pillman return to WCW. Hey, guys. James from LA. Love you guys' take on wrestling from the past, present, and according to Bill Body, the future. My question relates to the past, as I had heard that Brian Pillman, had he not been met with tragedy in 97, was set to go back to WCW. Do you guys have any insight to what the plans were for him, and had he come back, of course? I figure a Horseman reunion, although I worry an NWO inclusion was likely. Also, do you think he should have deserved to be the world champion at one point? First of all, I have no knowledge of this at all.
Yeah,
I had no idea he was coming back to WCW. Did you know that?
Bischoff says that him and Brian were in contact the whole time he was in WWE, and Brian wasn't happy because they were drug testing him, so he wanted to leave, and this was like a month or so prior to his death. So they were in conversations, and Jericho has said that Brian spoke to him about maybe putting together like a renegade Horseman group to go against Flair, which would have been Pillman, Jericho, Benoit, and maybe Regal or Malenko. I'm not sure which one. So there was discussions between people about how it could have possibly happened, but I don't know how close he was to really leaving WWE. But the conversation happened, supposedly.
Next is from Zach Elbin. And the subject is
Do you
Big
think
Vito.
He could have been world champion, Brian Pillman?
Yeah,
oh, deserved
yeah.
to be,
he,
rather?
Yeah, he was a larger-than-life character. He had good mic work, too. Zach Elbin, subject is Big Vito. Hey, guys, I came across Big Vito's TikTok and noticed he's been in about every wrestling promotion I remember him in. Hey, guys, I came across Big Vito's TikTok and noticed he's been in about every wrestling promotion. I remember him in WWE in a dress. Seemed odd, but whatever. As I watch him on his TikTok, he comes off as a good guy but kind of marked himself at times. How was he when you guys worked for him? I mean, I got along with him pretty well, but that's a pretty accurate description. You know, he took wrestling very seriously. And he kayfabed his dad. Yeah. He kayfabed his dad.
Wow.
That's how seriously he took the business. So, yeah, it was kind of, you know, guys like that were just like, you know, he just grew up in a culture where he just took it very, very seriously. You know, but we got, I mean, he always had good, when we were the Mama Lukes, I mean, he always had good ideas. Like, always. He was very creative for that gimmick. And, like, if you watch, bro, that faction was a very entertaining faction. Him and Johnny the Bull were perfect characters for that. Like, the two, like, dopey Italian guys. If you go back and watch some of the vignettes and stuff, they did some really, really good stuff. You know, so.
Yeah.
What did you think about the Mama Lukes, Conan?
Yeah, good act.
Wasn't it Court Bauer, Conan, that said he had a problem with Vito because he would take liberties with the enhancement guys? I think that was on MLW.
Yeah, I have no recollection of that.
Yeah. This is probably for Conan right here. Next one is, it's a question for Conan. Brandon Potter. To your knowledge, has WWE ever been interested in Dr. Wagner Jr. or him and them? He's my favorite lucha wrestler, and I think he has the best mask. It is so awesome. He's a great look and size, and his moves are crisp. He's very polished. He seems like he would be a perfect fit for WWE. He's a mega star. I'd be interested to hear anything concerning Dr. Wagner Jr. Also, I love the hair versus mask match with him and Psycho Clown. Thank you, Brandon.
I don't think WWE ever spoke to him. I was going to get him into WCW when I brought in all the Mexicans, but he was very difficult to work with.
Give an example.
Well, you know, I kept telling him, this is how much money you're going to make. Well, why can't I make this? I go, because nobody knows who the fuck you are, you know? And I was good. Just go in there. This is what you make. You show and prove, and they give you more money. It isn't like I'm a star in Mexico and they're going to pay you off of that because they don't give a fuck.
Right.
And then in wrestling, very difficult to work with also because he's one of these veterans in Mexico that's still kind of a mark for himself.
Right.
But, you know, people like him. He has good promos, good heat.
Can he work American style?
Yeah, he can work American style.
Like, he can throw good punches.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. But you can throw a good punch, you can work American style, because you got to fight a lot of American
style. He's 50-something, bro. Like, right. It ain't like he's going to have a big career here.
Right. Next one's from Alexis Figueroa, and the subject is Santana Indie Book, as it's supposed to be. Hello, team. I noticed that Conan confirmed the issues between Santana and Ortiz recently. I found out that Santana is the LAWA heavyweight champion. That is a local Puerto Rican location that is run by the Colones. Question is, Conan, do you plan or have plans to work with the LAWE? And Disco, Johnny Cage in Mortal Kombat was done using your likeness. You should check it out. Interesting. Pull up an image of Johnny Cage. It. You got it? Oh, wow. Joe's been kind of on point this week, Conan. Have you noticed this?
Not really. But
I've noticed it. We're not having to wait forever. To get evil. Actually, you know what, Joe? You did screw up once because you looked at Halloween Habit instead of
yeah.
Right.
There's right. Johnny Cage, the action figure. There's Johnny Cage in the video game.
Hold up. That looks more like Max Dupree than it does looks like me.
Yeah, I guess he's talking about the hair.
I get, bro. It looks like kind of like a little bit like a combination of me, The Miz, and Max Dupree. Would that be an accurate description?
Yeah,
of
I was gonna say a mix of you and Miz. Yeah.
All right.
You know, before we move on, I got dragged on the YouTube a little bit because when Conan initially answered the Santana and Ortiz, do they have heat question, he answered it and we kind of moved on and everyone was like, Joe should have asked follow-up questions and got more out of him and stuff. So is there anything further?
Well, you're not the hard-hitting reporter on this show.
Thank
Joe,
you.
So
that's what I said.
right. Yeah, so that answers your question. Whoever.
Yeah.
So to all the people on the YouTube. Oh, I want to get actually.
You know what I said?
Go,
you know what I said? I said if these guys want to talk about something, they will talk about it. Me asking ain't going to change that.
Right. We're not a news. We're three. We're you know, it's Conan with our producer Joe. You know, me and Conan have known each other for over 20 years, and we wanted to do a podcast to talk about things that we like, which is sports, wrestling, music, politics, just like the advertisement says, you know, the stuff, everything, and that's all this is. And to discuss these things that our listeners know what we'd like to talk about, to generate discussion, they will send in mailbag questions. Okay, and that's what we do. We read the mailbag questions because usually they're kind of on topic of things that we like to talk about. You know, so but I want to go to I'll try and find Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the while we're doing this, go on the YouTube and go to where Conan and Disco review AEW Dynamite, and there's a long-winded response of a guy that says that our review is terrible.
Okay,
actually, let me try and look here real quick. I want to address what this guy said because this guy brings up a point. Maybe I can find it here real quick.
Here we go.
I got it right here.
Dose of Reality 420 guy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, let me read this. Okay.
Up on the screen too.
All right. So here we go. This is a guy, our review of the show, okay? This is an AEW review, okay? This guy says, I've listened to quite a few episodes of the channel for over two or three years now, but this is my first time hearing you guys review any AEW programming. Usually I listen to your comments on certain topics, but never a show review. I don't watch WWE. I follow AEW, Dark, Elevation, Rampage, Dynamite, Impact, MLW, AAA, CMLL, IWRG, plus Japanese and independent wrestling. As far as show reviews, this is absolutely the worst review I've ever heard. A bunch of people have no interest in the product, don't know 90% of the talent working on it, and it's not a good look. If you're not going to follow it correctly, don't talk about it. How about someone stealing a AAA Lucha podcast who's never seen it before and they only watch a few highlights each week before they review your product? I guess people are so stupid today that they will listen to anything, including a bunch of people reviewing another product they don't even remember if they saw it or not. All right, so let me address you, Mr. Dose of Reality. We have said repeatedly on the show, we're not watching these shows from start to finish to give you an educated analyzation of the show top to bottom. We watch the stuff, and I've said this before repeatedly. I'll watch AEW from start to finish, but I find myself fast forwarding through a lot of stuff because that's what the show does to me personally. It's like I'm not going to be like Dave Meltzer, where they say they have to watch the whole show start to finish to talk about everything. If the stuff is interesting to me, okay, we will discuss it more. We'll see more of it. We'll watch more of it. But when it's not interesting, that usually correlates to when the show is not really doing that good in the ratings. And we, by watching it that way, are kind of giving you a feel of why the show is not doing well in the ratings, because it's not really interesting us like it's, you know, and interesting other people too. Like, so we're not going to, when we review these shows, we review basically what happened. It's not a dissection move for move like Cornette does and like Dave will do a review of the show. We try to watch these shows, and if they're not good, we'll labor through them and have to end up fast forwarding some of them. But when the shows aren't good, we're not being forced to watch it. So we're not like a, you know, like a professional show reviewers. We watch a show and we tell you what we think. We think mistakes that they're making and things that they're doing good, period. All right? So would you agree with that, Conan? That's a good summation.
Well, I would just say that I really don't give a fuck what this guy says or thinks, because he's saying that we don't really watch the shows. So how do we review them if we don't watch them?
Right. Yeah.
Number one, we've been reviewing every show for the last 3 years since it started. Every single show, every pay-per-view, and even some Rampages. I've worked on the shows That's talent. I've been backstage. Right. Okay. Their champions are Tay Conte, Sammy Guevara, Omega was our champion. The Young Bucks were our champions. FTR, our champions. What do you mean I don't know about the product? No, what I don't know is when they bring Japanese girls that I've never heard of in my fucking life, and they have no, they don't introduce me to them. It's like watching UFC. At least every fight, they show you this is the fighter, this is the other fighter, and they give you like a 1 minute promo on each one so you kind of know about them. And you don't go in there with your fucking eyes blind. Right. You just said that you watch every promotion under the sun, AAA, CMLL. You watch more than I do. So all you do is watch fucking wrestling.
Right.
You're probably mad because you're a big AEW fan, you know, and we didn't put it over. It's very simple. It's like any other fucking wrestling show that we review. Some shit is good and some shit isn't. All right?
To us.
We're not going to bury everything just to get over with the other crowd, and we're not going to put over everything for the same reasons. And you probably come from the generation, you know, with the Tide Pods and the Cinnamon Challenge and the group hugs. So get the fuck on out of here.
All right, there we go. That was a good... That's going to be a good clip on YouTube. The next one is from Luke Smith, our boy down in he sent me a clip of this. I haven't watched it yet. I'm gonna try and watch it work. So the subject is rugby league in America. Hey boys, the biggest annual rugby league game of the year was just played between my home state of Queensland and New South Wales, with the series tied at one game apiece. For the final match was played in Brisbane on Wednesday in front of 55,000 fans. Within the first 5 minutes, three players were taken from the field with concussions. The game and atmosphere at the stadium was crazy, and it finished with the underdog great state of Queensland taking home the trophy. There's been talk recently of taking an exhibition rugby league game between Queensland and New South Wales to America to showcase and expose the sport over there. Do you think it would be successful in the States if it was promoted properly? I've attached a short video of the game last week to show you guys what it's all about. This is from Luke Smith.
You want to watch it?
Go ahead and play. Go and play. This is a short clip. It's pretty cool.
22 is off. Rapturous noise around Suncorp and Junior Polo with the first carry for the Blues. So Cherry Evans for Nanai. Backhanded ball was beautiful. Capel with a kick. Capel chasing. Tedesco gets back in cover. This right-hand edge, that's their second line break.
Nanai's the man.
And look at this now. The Maroon machine driving. What a tackle. The Blues are caught in goal. As Ben Hunt goes to Dearden and a rampaging Valentine Holmes. Tom Dearden, the 21-year-old on debut, has put the Queensland centre Valentine Holmes over for
the first try
of game three.
We get the atmosphere and everything. But I do not think... Here would be the problem with rugby here, with a rugby league. It's just that there'd be too many snowflakes complaining about the concussion issues. You know, why are they letting these guys hit? You know, what's a concussion problem? As long as American football is here, I don't think rugby will ever get over. You know what I'm saying? But what do you think, Conan?
It could, as an underneath sport, you know, kind of like. I don't know, like a secondary sport, you know?
Right, yeah. Like as long as America...
It does have a great atmosphere. I watch it a lot.
Because here's the problem.
It gets a little... You have to get used to it because it's so different, but it's a fucking rough game.
But here's the problem, is your pool of talented rugby players would be playing American football. Like, the best rugby players would just be going and playing. The guys that would be great rugby league players would probably just end up playing American football.
Right, like Hyde.
Right. So you would have a diluted talent pool.
Right.
Like, you wouldn't have the premier football athletes.
Right, because you can make more money than
NFL. American football with pads. Yeah. Right, exactly. You know. Next one is from Joseph Greco, and the subject is Controversy Creates Cash. What's up, guys? Joe from Wisconsin here. Two quick questions that can maybe cook up some controversy on the podcast. This one is for Conan. Have you ever heard Disco make a racist joke? And number two, this one is for Disco. Who is the better all-time performer, Conan or Rey Mysterio? Thanks, guys. Conan, have you ever heard me make a racist joke?
I don't remember.
I would say this. 25 years ago, I probably, by today's standards, would probably have made an off-color joke and everything that today's people would consider racist. Okay, but that was just, you know, the culture was different back then. Would I ever make a racist joke today? No, nobody makes racist jokes today that I know. You know, I've never heard, like, you know, because at our club, it's a very diverse club and everything. I don't hear anybody making racist jokes because we have a lot of ethnicities in the club. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. Who's the better all-time performer? I would say I think even Conan would say probably Ray. Right. No offense to Conan, Ray's still doing it.
Right.
You know,
so, well, you know, so, he always did it better than me, anyway. So
I mean, yeah, he's
no discussion.
Right. You know, Ray Conan was more over than Ray got, but as a performer, Ray is one of Ray's better than almost. I mean, is he top 10 performers of all time in history? Probably.
Maybe top 5.
Maybe. Next one's from Marina Shafir. And the subject is Marina Shafir. It's from Greer Grayson. Hi, Conan and Disco. I wanted to ask you, what do you think of Marina Shafir has fans due to her wrestling style? I'm a fan of her, and it's because of her style with the takeover throws and submission holds. It's slower, not as fast or high-flying. It's still exciting, and it makes me think of a movie or video game character who's a strategy that throws most wrestlers off their game, so to speak. And one wrestler she reminds me of is Steven Regal back during WCW in the 90s. In my opinion, matches where her submissions are featured or who can escape the submission of Marina Shafir would be really cool. Grayson Greer, I would think you're in a very, very small minority of people that think that style is a style that is going to generate fans at all. And trying to compare her to Steven Regal's one of the best workers in the history of the business. So there's no comparison there. It's nothing against this girl, but like her work is just different and it's not.
She's green, bro. That's right. All it is.
Yeah. The next one is from Trent Arnold. And the subject is reality TV. What's up, K100 crew? This question is for Disco. Remember in the past you mentioned that you used to date a girl that was on Big Brother. Big Brother is one of my favorite reality shows to watch. I was wondering, would you ever consider going on a competition reality show like that? You're still in good shape and also would make for good TV because you would rub people the wrong way and you could possibly be the biggest heel in reality television. Thanks, Trent. No, I would not want the bro. I'm kind of a public figure now, and I get enough hate from people as it is. You know what I'm saying? So I would not want to subject myself to any more of that. Just to be on a reality television show. I'm not interested in being an on-screen performer in anything anymore. You know, I just like my job. I like doing the podcast here because I do it with Conan and stuff. So, you know, no, I'm not interested. So. Do you think I'd be good on reality TV, Conan?
Yep.
Speaking of reality show performers and heels and whatnot, what was Johnny Fairplay like to work with?
I got along with him fine, but everybody hated him because he made so much money.
He did, huh? Yeah.
He got paid a fortune. And
right.
And Jeff hated the fact that everybody hated him because he made a fortune.
He made big money, and he only appeared like a couple of times a year.
Yeah, you know? Pretty much. You know, but I got along with him. Yeah. Even though he was super obnoxious. But I still got along with him.